Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a broadcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a social sector leader from India, Barkha Tripathi. Barkha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh.
Barkha is the co-founder of The Zero Period, and she is on her way out to the Harvard Kennedy School starting in the fall 2022 session. Barkha, let me first say good luck at Harvard. I mean, I'm sure it'll be an incredible experience for you. But for the moment, let's talk about the zero period. Tell me about this venture and your motivation to start it.
Of course. So the Zero Period is essentially a nonprofit organization that works to introduce and integrate comprehensive sexuality education. Mm-hmm. So that's the space that we work in. And it's been close to 2 years that, we stepped into this space now. Mm-hmm. Of course, a little bit about me before I dive into, the Zero Period's work as well. So started my career off with PwC, soon enough realized that maybe, the corporate world is not really fitting my bill. Moved into the social impact space, worked with another organization before I personally had the motivation to start something of my own. Mm-hmm. And of course, comprehensive sexuality education being something of a personal interest, as mm-hmm. well as, of course, something that I saw culturally as a problem mm-hmm. or the lack thereof being a problem. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a collective motivation to start. And it was in the middle of the pandemic when really everybody was feeling pretty directionless. I guess mm-hmm. I was also not spare from it. Right. Around that time is when this idea kind of came to our heads that we could perhaps do something in this space. And, it took the shape of a nonprofit much later. Mm-hmm. Initial 6 months, we just worked on it just to do our research, just trying to understand, why does it lag in India? And, just the nuances of the entire subject. Before we took the decision to convert it into an NPO. And when I took the decision to give my full time to it.
Wonderful, wonderful. So tell me about the work that you are doing at the Zero Period.
Yeah, of course. So like I said, comprehensive sexuality education is what we aim to bring to the classrooms of India. And of course, I think anybody who's listening and or both of us, because we've also spoken about this at length before, we agree that, this is not something that has seen, its face in Indian classrooms at all. Mm. Every child, as much as they need it, they do have this sort of education, and that too very skewed, very subpar from either the internet or the friends or just all the wrong sources, so to say. But like a formal institutional way of teaching something which is so interpersonal to children growing up, that's just not happening in India. And it's not just the reality of our country, honestly, globally also. This subject has seen a lot of challenge, right? Mm-hmm. So when we were also, like me and my co-founder Bhumika, when both of I were also, we're just doing our research in this space, trying mm-hmm. to understand where does the problem lie? Mm-hmm. We kind of boiled it down to the fact that people just don't have the courage / confidence to even learn about this and talk about this in their spaces, in their communities, in their schools, right? Mm-hmm. So the Zero Periods methodology actually originates from there, that we want to create change makers and people from a set school, from a set community to come up, take the training that we have to offer and become sexuality educators in their own space.
Very interesting.
So and that's why we have mostly targeted faculty members of school. So essentially professional teachers who take up this subject and go and teach to their sixth graders. Sixth class is the one that we are targeting. Mm. Yeah.
And you say that you are looking at age-appropriate sexuality education. And you just told me it's sixth class. So help me understand, what is the meaning of age-appropriate? Is it different across different age groups?
Yeah, so comprehensive sexuality education, I think, is just highly misunderstood because people don't understand that, like any other subject, even sexuality education is something that should be graded. Mm. And with the child growing up in a school, say from first standard to fifth standard to 10th standard, this subject also keeps changing, keeps evolving. Say, for example, for any other subject like Hindi or sciences or maths, right? Mm. Like what a first grader learns is not the same as what the same child in fifth class will learn. Same thing with sexuality education as well. A first grader, like let me just pose an example. A first grader would be learning something about, safe and unsafe touch, would be learning about respect, empathy, community building, you know, skills like those, which are also important for that age. Then if that child grows up in fifth standard, just before puberty, they would be learning about bodily changes. They would be learning about like whatever they can expect with puberty, what to normalize, what to not normalize. And similarly, even a much higher graded child, which is like in ninth or 10th standard, they would be learning a little bit more like around safe sex practices, what consent is, and, you know, stuff like that. So thematically, when we say age appropriation or age appropriate CSE, so to say, that also evolves with the growing child. And that's how ideally in any country or in any space, it should be taught. However, because like I said, there are many ground realities attached to it, creating this sort of a curriculum which is adapted from first to 12th grade is, again, like, it's a massive challenge, and even India bureaucratically hasn't been able to achieve that to a large extent, so hence why the sixth grade is somewhere that zero period also planned to start off with, because that's like a pre-puberty age group where children need to have like the right skills and the right knowledge before they enter their teen years. And the curriculum that we have also leveraged, it's actually in collaboration with another organization whose curriculum we have adopted. So it's a fantastic piece they've created for Indian students, because of course culturally also it has to be appropriate. So for Indian students, for sixth graders, that's like that's the target audience that we have also picked up.
Very interesting. So before I go any further, I should have asked you this question earlier. What is the meaning of, or why did you decide to select the name the zero period?
Yeah, so actually interesting, yeah. So the zero period is essentially, it's like a personal story. I'm not sure how many can relate to it, but in a school, like a timetable, we have like a class called the zero period, which is earliest in the day when students come to the school. And usually either assembly happens then or like, you know, just the class teacher lecture sorts happen then, right? So it's like a free 40 minutes to 45 minutes that we, at least in my school, I personally had, where oftentimes you were just actually sitting free, catching up on homework, catching up on gossip and whatnot. So the idea actually came from there, that if we were to actually imagine a world where CSE seamlessly incorporates in a school life, where would it fall? I mean, so this actually fit perfectly for us that way, that if we were to imagine again like a utopian world, we can always introduce CSE as the first class in the day, where the child comes into the school, talks about this, learns about this, and then moves on with their normal academic lectures. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. So there's another thing that I want to ask you, Barkha, and that is that there are so many myths about sexuality and sexual education, and there's so much of right and wrong information available on the internet, which everyone seems to have. How are you addressing a lot of these myths in the minds of children?
Yeah, no, I think one thing that I do want to point out here is that myths are actually in the minds of adults. Children are actually, just believing whatever adults around them are believing. Right.
Well said, yeah.
So even like a child in like middle teen years, like around 15, 16, they're just learning from people around them, right? Mm-hmm. Like whatever is being floated around in their peer circles or like, whatever their parents believe, they just tend to also believe that and propagate it going forward.
Sure.
So yes, you are right. I think addressing myths is like the biggest challenge in this space. And unfortunately, like again, from our research, we found out that very limited efforts are actually made in this direction. So the government has also for the longest time tried to play around with introducing some form of comprehensive sexuality education in schools. However, just by the virtue of backlash that happens, like the intense backlash that comes, it just never, comes, like, you know, properly formalizes itself in a school. So efforts in the direction for addressing myths need to be made. And that is something that is actually priority for the zero period as well. And again, how the methodology also comes into play, right? Like when we involve adults in the conversation, when we let them enter a room and just, like, you know, say that whatever you believe is all right, but it is your personal opinion and you have the right to have it. However, we are here to just share information. So what we give, like, we reassure to them that whatever we are giving to you is information. Basis science, basis biology, basis whatever research has been done. And then, of course, over and above this, you are, like, you know, of course, well within your rights to believe whatever you want to.
Right.
So when you make that segregation, immediately people then, like, you know, assume that, all right, so they feel respected as well as also, like, okay, they maybe may have learned something new today. Right. So it's like, you know, that's how we also in our own spaces tackle it. And second thing is that one of our flagship programs, which is the sensitization program that we offer to a school, is actually based around countering myths in a nutshell. So that is where we invite all of the faculty members and administration team of a school together. And it's like an intensive 8-hour course spanned over 5 days. And with these teachers, we actually discuss just, like, you know, why CSE has not happened so far. And honestly, most of the times what we also see is that these teachers fully agree as well that yes, we also don't understand why these myths are there, and, you know, there, why is there so much lack of confidence in taking something like this up. So you know, that's at least one thing that zero period has done to address myths.
That's absolutely amazing. I mean, there's such an incredible need for this. But tell me, how are parents reacting to CSE in schools? Because, I mean, I've always believed that a big role is played, and you just said it also, on what the children hear from parents. I think one important role is of a parent is probably also to educate on sexuality.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. So with parents, let me first talk about zero period and then, like, the larger problem. Of course, zero period also, like, ties up with, like, say, a particular school. So as a workshop, what we offer is essentially an optional parent orientation workshop. Because again, like, not every school is really, also willing to take up a session like this with parents. So we leave that decision making to the school's hand as well. And we take up our sessions, like, with parents, where we brief them about what the curriculum is, like, really addressing the elephant in the room that, you know, their child is growing up. They need certain information. Otherwise, you are also going to face hell in your own house. So might as well have, like, you know, an institutional body help you figure that out. So this is, like, kind of, the orientation we do with our parents. But largely, yes, I think you're absolutely correct. You know, convincing parents is, like, a big roadblock that this space entirely as an industry has faced in India. Because just people don't even want to enter the room where conversation like this is happening, let alone, you know, even posing whatever their concerns are. Honestly, what happens is that if a parent is willing to enter a room where something like this is being talked about, they're already 20% interested.
Right.
They're already curious, right? So in a room like that, there is not as much backlash as you would expect. But outside of that room, in the pool of parents who are not even willing to have that conversation, I mean, you cannot force anybody to, like, you know, come inside a room and talk about something that they're not, just simply not comfortable talking about, right? So, of course, like, again, efforts are being made in this direction. You know, CSE actually is like an umbrella subject. If you think about it, there are subjects like periods or, sexual harassment, safe, unsafe touch. These are also components of a larger CSE spectrum, right? So these are things that people are now finding some comfort to talk about. So I would still say that that's, like, one step in the right direction, that at least parents are willing to talk about it now. But the entire larger scheme of CSE, that's still, like, something that, yes, I mean, definitely there is hesitation, and only so much people can do who want to talk about it but also don't want to make others uncomfortable.
Very amazing. My other question to you, Barkha, is that a large or almost the entire curriculum of any school is governed by governments. Is the government at state level or the central level open to introducing CSE as a formal area of education?
Yeah, so Okay, two things. So state governments and vis-a-vis central governments, right? Let me talk about like state governments, of course, from the experience of my own organization. Mm-hmm. So we have collaborated with the government of Haryana in the district of Karnal. We are also in conversation with the Delhi government at the moment. So we do see that at least on a state level, there is a recognition for something like this. I mean, even the highest authorities in this entire chain of communication, they've been interested in the subject matter and it's brought to the table. But of course, equally at the same time, there have been some challenges that we faced in our conversations as well. Some people are just like plain and simple, not ready to talk about, you know, these things. So again, like that's a door that we just don't enter. We don't knock too much. So yes, there it's like a mixed bag, I would say, at least in my experience as an entrepreneur. Central government wise, yes. So that's very complex actually, Ashutosh, because on paper, we do have the Ayushman Bharat School Health Program as a scheme within which we have a health and wellness curriculum for 8th graders, which is a small workshop that they have created, which encompasses a lot of topics that actually fall within UNESCO's technical guide of CSE. So actually it's pretty adept in its own space. But again, like the government has really done not much in formulating an implementation strategy. How does this go forward to the classrooms, right? Of course, they have like a hierarchy designed for themselves that, this person then is getting the training and then taking it to the classroom and stuff. But when this curriculum got launched, unfortunately, the same time pandemic also happened. So schools got shut down. So of course, this became like the last priority. Yeah. And now that schools are also resuming back, I think there's just a lot of catching up to do for learning outcomes generally. So again, this is just not something that's, given due priority. And this is like, again, these are just recent occurrings, in the past also, since 2007, 2006, if I'm not wrong, adolescent education program, which is also like a small component of CSE, was launched. And even that faced so much backlash, and that was launched centrally. So at that time, central and state governments had a lot of conflict because many state governments did not actually want to implement it. So there is a lot of tussle back and forth happening, on that level. And it's just plain and simple because there are so many myths that people are just not willing to talk about.
Correct. Yeah. So my next question to you, and I have time for two more questions. My next question to you is that, I'm much, much older than you are. And I do believe that I have a reasonably open mind. But my question to you is that based on your working with so many schools and so many parents, are younger parents more open to discussing CSE, or are on this particular topic they're still bringing forward the whatever their learnings were from older parents like me, are you beginning to see a change in generations when they can talk of their children?
Yeah, that's an interesting question actually, and I don't know if I can point blank answer that, because of course, in our experience, like on ground implementing it in schools, we have definitely seen a pattern of like just younger people being more open and okay to talk about it, vis-a-vis like audience which is like more 50 plus, 60 plus, who have found like some sort of hesitation to talk about it. But I do feel that, Ashutosh, this is, it's a complex thing, because it's not like previous generations or like the generations who are parents right now, or like, even people in their early 20s, they all have needed it equally. Correct. Everybody needed the right information equally. It's just that what is the comfort level to bring it up? That's the only difference. And when organizations such as ours come into the picture, we bring in like the comfort, the safety to talk about it. Every age group is open.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, when you give the other person respect, the other person the comfort that they need, and the room to have their own opinion while also learning something new at the same time, like I've already talked about. I mean, we have personally have definitely seen shifts in people who have been above 50, who have been above 30, who have even been above 25 for that matter. So, it's just it. I personally don't see it as like a virtue of age that there is a hesitation or something. Of course, I think people who are just much elder do have slightly more hesitation, because it's just so many years of believing like a certain thing, right? Like this is not okay to be talked about and stuff. But it's not a wall that cannot be cracked. Yes. So I personally feel that, the conversation can start at any age.
Fantastic. Wonderful. So my last question to you, Barkha, and this is for the many, many young people who will listen to our conversation. What would you say are three lessons on CSE you would like a lot of our viewers and listeners who probably are young parents or are likely to become young parents soon, what would you like them to take away from this conversation?
Right. Yeah, that's pretty loaded. I will have to think about the three because, yeah, definitely there are many. All right. So I think the first one would be, of course, for those who are, you know, kind of wanting to become parents or are new parents themselves. Right. This is just something we talk about so much in our classroom. So I just really want to bring this up that don't raise your child, like do understand that your child will learn things about their society, about their environment subconsciously. So they will actually need unlearning, like active conscious information building from your side to actually live in a very equitable mindset in this world and to grow up without thinking about boys and girls as like the gender segregation and like, you know, where do they fall in the hierarchy of social structures, right? You will have to, you cannot just assume that, you know, if you raise them well, they will not learn these things. A child is getting exposure not only to you, but to many things in life. So from a parent's side, there has to be an active intervention to correct, to educate, to inform, because a lot of learning of the way society works happens subconsciously. So make that effort, like show that courage to enter, like, you know, a conversation where even a, like, you know, a child as young as 5 or 6 year old, if has shown curiosity to ask about, you know, how are kids made? Where did I come from? Answer that with correct information. And honestly, if the child has shown curiosity, then they're willing to take whatever you give to them as well. Absolutely. Don't assume that it's not age appropriate for them, right? Like every child is unique. We talk about that. So every child's learning ability is also unique. If they have shown curiosity, don't hesitate to give the right information. That's like, that's the first thing. Second thing is, of course, that I also want specifically people who are in their 20s, like late 20s, in their 30s, you know, they are the at the brink of like a cultural shift. We do understand that they've been raised by parents who were more conservative, so to say. And now they have kids who are, you know, growing up in the era of internet and like, you know, with all sorts of information. So they are actually the bridge between the two. So if you live in a community where you have both elder folks and younger folks together, be the voice in the room which stands for, again, like CSE, the right information. And you are somebody whose voice will be heard by both elder generation and younger generation. So, you know, utilize that power that you have just by the virtue of your age very wisely. You know, use that to advocate for the right things, for the right information, for your future generations to just be raised better than before. And of course, third thing is that I think we, again, like going back to my workshops, one thing that we talk about very strongly also is power. The way that we are raised in our society, the way that we live our life is also so much defined by where we stand in the power hierarchy of things, which is very intersectional in nature. Like it could be related to your caste, your income bracket, to your gender, to your sex, right? Like a lot of things play a role there. So again, let's be cognizant of the fact that a child who's growing up is already also seeing themselves in a power structure. They already have seen that, you know, given what their identity is, where they fall. So not only CSE is like one side, but one very innate underlying thing that CSE also talks about is equality. And equality, not just for the sake of paper, but really to make the child also understand that you standing up for your rights, for your autonomy is not the not a bad thing. It's not a thing to be like, you know, rebelling about. It's not a thing to be like, you know, you should have confidence to stand up for it, because a lot of children actually don't have that confidence to even ask the questions, right? Like they already know that, you know, adults will feel uncomfortable if I ask for it. Adults will feel uncomfortable if I pose this question in front of public, right? So have confidence in asking whatever you want to. You have the right to do that. And even if it's for your own rights or for your own information, could be anything. Just like, you know, have that courage to speak up. And, you know, that's just again like something that has to consciously be reiterated.
Wonderful. Barkha, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about the zero period and, you know, about your incredible journey in bringing CSE to so many schools. I mean, I think parents, their children will you know, applaud you and thank you for the amazing work that you are doing, because this is a topic which people in South Asia, people in India don't really talk about so openly. And I think your efforts will make a big difference to correct the myths that are in the mind. And as you so correctly corrected me, the myths are there in the minds of parents. Thank you for your amazing lessons that you have, you know, given for our viewers and listeners. And finally, wish you all the best and lots of success as you start your new journey at Harvard Kennedy School. Thank you again for speaking to me.
Thank you so much for having me, Ashutosh. It was really fun talking to you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for representing the Zero Period as well.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.